It is good to be back here in the United States of America. I'm going to give you a brief on that here very shortly. But I want to go to the whole reason we do this show. It's not about just prayer. It's also about moving to action. If we are Christians and we don't act, really, what are we doing? We have to move from prayer to action. It's not enough to talk about things. Not enough to parrot things. We have to move, preach the gospel, and move in power. Ephesians 2, verse 19 through 22. So then we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling or habitation of God in the Spirit. Today, no computers, no news articles. I'm going to talk to you from the heart, from experience and primary sources. By the way, news articles are not primary sources, just so we're clear on that. Travis, are we good with that? News articles are not primary sources. Okay. In fact, news articles can't be really the basis of any sort of an investigation, but we'll get to that here in a second. So we are trying right now to walk in a time where we are missing a huge narrative of what is actually going on in the world. And I'm going to talk about what the end plans of the enemy are. Now, I have talked about some of the near-term plans, medium-term plans. I want to talk about what their actual end goal is here, coming up. Why it is this area, this era of time, where kind of this stuff originally started, and then what my personal experiences were overseas on the ground. Because I hear a lot of people talking about this. I mean, we have pundits out there who have, A, never been overseas serving their country or on a missions field. B, these people have never really ever been in combat, seen death in up close and personal, really talked to people, and yet they're rendering opinions as if they're some kind of an expert, but it's really just opinion. So I'm going to try to give you some primary sources and give you some perspective on what is actually happening in the world, why we are dwelling a habitation of the Lord. And when it says in the Old Testament that we are to be a father to the fatherless and a defender of the widows, is God in his dwelling place? What's his dwelling place? Well, we just read it in Ephesians 2:19-22. We're the dwelling place. That's why he said you can know who a false prophet is. You can know who a false Christ is, because they're always going to say, go find Jesus over there. Go to that inner room over there and find Jesus, when in fact he is inside of us when we've given our lives to him. And if we are two or more gathered, he is in our midst. So we always know false prophets when they start saying, go find Jesus over there, go find Jesus in that inner room. We all have an obligation to not be deceived. I know that seems obvious, but I got to say this. Christians can be deceived. The elect can be deceived. Why? Am I so strong on that? Because, well, Adam and Eve were elect. They actually were full of the Holy Spirit. And then they fell. They were deceived. Okay. And in Jewish tradition, actually, when it says they lost their clothing, they became naked, what that really meant is they lost the Holy Spirit. They lost the glory of God on them. They lost the white raiment, the covering of God on them, and became naked. That's what it meant. That's in Jewish tradition, by the way. So we, as the dwelling place of Jesus, have an obligation not to be deceived in this time. How are we not deceived? How do we make sure that we are solid in our walk with the Lord. Well, there's a great verse about this exact issue in Romans 12, and I'm going to get to that here in a second. One of the ways that we are not deceived is that we press into the Word of God. Because when we're saturated with His truth, we can't be deceived. In addition to that, the Holy Spirit, we actually have a relationship with Christ, relationship with Holy Spirit, and listen to what Holy Spirit is saying and not listen to man's wisdom. As I said on Sunday, we listen to the Holy Spirit, not Tucker Carlson. We listen to the Holy Spirit, not CNN. That is what keeps us from being deceived. Now, this is what it says in Romans 12. Love must be free of hypocrisy. So we can't have logical contradictions, okay? Matt Shea goes on the mission field to Ethiopia and yet is trying to lead a white nationalist movement at home, which is true, which love has to be free from hypocrisy like that, right? So you can't have both. You can't have love on the one hand, say that you're all about love, and then print lies and hate people to such a great extent that you don't even care about the truth anymore. Then it says this, detest what is evil. So it's telling us what to do, how to be free from deception, how to be free from hypocrisy. Detest what is evil, cling to what is good. So what is good in God's estimation? Well, being a father to the fatherless, defender of the widows, helping people in distress, loving our neighbor, loving the Lord our God with all our mind, our body, soul, and spirit, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, healing the sick, delivering people from oppression, fighting against tyranny. These are all things that are signs of good. So if somebody is doing the opposite, in other words, they're bringing in oppression, they're bringing in lies, they're bringing in hate of neighbor, or they're worse, they're trying to supplant the love of neighbor with some governmental structure instead of it being an individual relational thing, then we know what is evil and what is good. And we cling to what is good, even if it's hard. And here's the thing, being a Christian is not easy. So sometimes you've got to do the good thing, even if you get beat up over it, even if you get ridiculed over it, even if you get told it's foolishness, because the foolishness of God's wisdom to men is where we want to be. Because we don't want to be in the foolishness of men's wisdom, because that is foolishness to God. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. In other words, if we go out of our way to be reconciled with each other, that unity allows our prayers not to be hindered, and we show brotherly love and honor each other, we won't be deceived. Why? Because when you dishonor people, you lie about people, you don't confront people, you just gossip about them, talk about them behind their backs, all those kind of things. What that does is allow for an open door for deception to come in. Not lagging behind in diligence. In other words, we're supposed to be hard workers in a spirit of excellence, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. Now, understand this passage here. Persevering in tribulation. This presumes there's going to be tribulation that we need to persevere when we do the right thing. Then it says, devoted in prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, and practicing. Actually, in the Greek, you can read that word practicing is pursuing hospitality. How many times have we said something like, that's too inconvenient for me, instead of pursuing opportunities for hospitality for other people? Because when you pursue hospitality, you can't be deceived. If you don't, if you allow comfort to creep in, all of a sudden deception has an open door. Okay, why do I talk about this so in detail today? Because I'm witnessing people inside the church being deceived. On the ground in Ukraine, I believe what I witnessed there was the spark and the front of a wave of harvest, the greatest harvest the world has ever known. And it was interesting to me that war had to bring people to their knees to be able to hear the Lord so that he could pierce their hearts. And sometimes that's the case, sadly. But thousands of people crossing that border were giving their lives to Jesus. People were asking for Bibles. They weren't being preached to. They would come up, we need food. Hey, could you send Bibles? I really need to know who Jesus is because I'm not learning it in this church hierarchy and structure that I was a part of for years in the Russian Orthodox faith, which, by the way, is horrendously infiltrated by KGB agents, but we'll get to that here in a second. Totally touched by God, wanting to read Bibles. They were worried about food, water, and Bibles. Man, this is awesome. And what I also saw was networks of churches across Ukraine coming together, not arguing about fine points of doctrine or whether Bethel worship is somehow good or bad, okay? By the way, I like Bethel worship, okay? Oh, that's going to give me emails. Oh, no. They weren't talking about that stuff because it doesn't matter. It may matter to some people who want to have a critical spirit and create division, but to the people on the ground in Ukraine who were helping other people, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, healing the sick, delivering people from oppression, and providing for the needs of the saints, just like this passage says, pursuing hospitality, all of that doctrinal garbage went out the window, and they became the body of Christ. And we saw church after church after church across the whole of Ukraine banding together where they were taking people out one way and then bringing buses back the other way with supplies. Wow, that was the body of Christ. And it is the body of Christ. And this is spreading, by the way. So let's talk about deception here for a second. Okay, I have witnessed people falling into a narrative trap because they don't understand what the end goal of these New World Order people is. And they're literally siding with Vladimir Putin, saying things like, Vladimir Putin is a Christian. Vladimir Putin is going to save us, and he's coming against the New World Order. Okay. I want you to go to your favorite search engine. It should be DuckDuckGo or Quant or privacy.sh, not Google. Go to your favorite search. Type in Putin, WEF, World Economic Forum, Kissinger. See what comes up. Okay. Putin is a New World Order guy. He's tied to all of these things, and he's a communist. He gave an oath to the Communist Party. He's an old KGB guy. And people are like siding with him. Communism is evil. Its whole stated goal is to destroy Christianity. Karl Marx wrote poetry about it in the 1830s. You can read about this. Richard Wurmbrand, the guy who started Voice of the Martyrs, and if you haven't seen the movie Tortured for Christ, and then they now have a sequel, Sabina, about his wife, you got to watch this movie. It's an incredible story of love in the midst of hate. So Richard Wurmbrand details the evils of Marxism and communism, and Vladimir Putin is a communist. And people on the right are falling into this because they don't get the narrative. They have become parrots. And I made a quote about this and posted it online, and maybe, Travis, we could share that on the On Fire Ministry site too. Parrots just talk a lot, but they don't do very much. So I love a lot of people are, you know, criticizing this or that, or this group helping at the Polish border, or that group going in to get orphans out, or whatever. What are you doing for the kingdom of Jesus Christ? What are you doing? besides sitting behind your keyboard, right? What are you actually doing? And do you have the intellect and the moral honesty to admit that you don't know what you don't know? Now, as somebody that has studied communist doctrine for the better part of my adult life, so I'm talking and dating myself a little bit, but well over two decades, talk to the experts in the world personally, face-to-face, on the issue of communism. I've given presentations of it around the United States. Communism is the new world order. It's centralized control. It's the same spirit. You can call it by different names. Centralized control with a dictator at the head that tries to own everything and control everything. Communism. And so, in Ukraine, simply put right now, you have the New World Order on one side, a communist World Economic Forum, New World Order guy on the other side, and Ukrainian people, and other people too, which I'll get to here in a second, stuck in the middle of all this. And people are saying, like, trying to praise Putin on the one side, or blindly stand on the New World Order side on the other. Look, the Ukrainian people have a right of self-defense against a communist dictator, aka Vladimir Putin. I personally talked to people that came out of Crimea face-to-face, personally talked to the people that came out of Mariupol. In fact, we rescued 62 of them, and the director of the orphanage finally made it to safety here a few days ago. Thank God. The devastation and the intentional targeting of civilian infrastructure is real. They targeted orphanages, schools, nursing homes. That is a fact, irrefutable by video evidence, witness evidence. Anybody who tries to come against that is denying reality. So we're not going to talk to reality deniers. This is what has actually happened from primary sources. So Vladimir Putin clearly is wrong, and clearly we should not side with it. On the other side, we don't want to side with the New World Order either, because their entire goal is to, as we've talked about on this show before, is to depopulate the world through a war and then try to usher in a one-world government, a one-world economic system, and some type of one-world religion. I'm going to put that in quotes, religion. The reason they tied Trump, or tried to anyway, to Russia is because Russia and China, with North Korea being a proxy catalyst, are going to turn what is happening right now into a broader World War III, whether that's 2 weeks from now or years from now. This is the start. They want to then say whoever has sided with Putin, whoever has sided or is tied with Russia, they must be traitors, and use that as the excuse for more control mechanisms and also criminalization of patriots and Christians in America. Don't fall into that trap. You can see it plain as day. I've talked about it on the show with Joel Skousen, talked about it on the show with Jack Decker, talked about it on the show with Paul Vallely. Look, these people want to usher this in, and the way they do it is through world wars. After World War I, you had the League of Nations. What was its primary purpose? Peace and security. Then after that, you had World War II, the United Nations. Article 1 of the United Nations, you have the words peace and security in the first sentence. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, beware of the people who say peace and security. And here we have it in the two documents. So every time there's a world war, they try to use this as a crisis opportunity for more control. So of course World War III is going to be used for that. That's their plan. We come against it in Jesus' name. But their original timeline for all of this was 1976. Why? What happened in 1976, Travis? Can you tell me? What happened in 1776? Let me ask it that way. Okay, so 200 year birthday, right? Yeah, communism was on its downward slope. 200 year anniversary of American independence, and they wanted to bring everything down in 1976 through 1980. They failed. And a guy named Ronald Reagan came into office, and suddenly the communists had to have a new tactic, and they faked the fall of the Soviet Union. And by the way, the reason I say that is because the KGB was always in control, regardless of what it looked like on the news. And people fall, they've fallen for some of this stuff. What's the 250th birthday year? Come on, let's do some math here. Could it be 2026? But a guy named Donald Trump came into office and delayed their plans for a little bit. And so, right now, what we're dealing with is they wanted a timeline to try to take the United States down by 2026. They pick these dates intentionally. They pick these eras intentionally. And the only thing that is standing in between right now, what these people want to do with global control and COVID, I mean, we talked about this 3 months ago on this show, that COVID was going to end March, April, and they were going to cover it with a war. Did we not talk about this? Did we not say that they were going to invade right after the Olympics? And what happened? How do we know this? Because these New World Order people are following a timeline if you just pay attention. So their timeline is 2026. So what they want to do is drag the United States into World War III. Now, yes, they're using deep state people to help do that. Yes, they're using communists outside of the country to do that. It's almost irrelevant who they're using to do that. This is their plan. So as they bring this forward, the only thing stopping them is free people in the world. Free people in Ukraine that are fighting, free people in the United States that are fighting. But I'm telling you, everybody that I talk to in Eastern Europe sees this as an existential threat to them and freedom. The fight in Ukraine right now. Is it an oversimplification? Yes. What about the New World Order ties on? They see what's about to happen and they believe a broader war is coming. Last 5 days I was in Poland, air raid sirens were being tested in Poland. And oh, by the way, there was a Russian bomber that breached Polish airspace. So far, not very many news outlets have talked about this. But do free people or not have the right of self-defense? And I believe firmly that they do. Let's talk about the other thing. So coming back from overseas, so why did we go over there? Well, because orphans and widows were in distress. And they called and they asked for help. So we went. And it's that simple. We weren't looking for any credit for it, but of course the mainstream media had to start attacking again. I want to talk about that very quickly. You know, this biblical basis for war thing keeps coming up. And you get a sense that they literally think that they can just lie and people believe them. Well, it's actually starting to backfire. Because I keep asking, publish the other documents that were in that folder, because it was very clearly training on just war theory and the biblical basis for war in the Old Testament, which is what that document was, an accurate outline of Deuteronomy 20, was the comparison for why we have just war theory today. The law of land warfare slides, they never published those, even though they were in the document in the folder. Never published the POW Code of Conduct, which was in that folder. Battle of Cowpens, Battle of Kings Mountain, observations of the Vietnam War, all of these things. Because it clearly would show that this was training, because as a commander in the United States Army, we trained people before we went overseas in just war theory and the law of land warfare. How to conduct yourself in a war zone where emotions are running high and still be moral and just. By the way, the United States Army may be the only army in the world that does this other than a few Western allies. But they tried to twist this. And so once it came to light that they were lying and the backlash started, then it was, oh, everybody's a racist white nationalist, right? Even though Marble Community's associate pastor is black, we have folks of many different ethnicities here at the church and on the leadership staff. So once that happens, they're like, oh, it's got to be terrorists, criminals. Ah, look, I fought 10 years in the United States Army, 10 years against terrorists. 10 years. Got a National Eagle National Security Award for my work against terrorism. If this was true, what they're trying to say, why has the FBI never one time this entire length, not one time, ever called me on the phone? No local law enforcement has ever talked to me or questioned me. Not one time. Now, because I say this on the radio now, are they going to do it? Because if they tried to, then that would be malicious prosecution. In fact, that would actually be evidence of it. Not one time. So now that we've shown these things are lies, why do people keep bringing it up? Because we need to start speaking life. I'm not going to sit here and defend constantly. We need to speak life. What are you doing for the cause of Jesus Christ? That's the question we need to be asking everybody. Are you fighting for our children? Are you fighting for the orphans? Are you fighting for those people that are less fortunate and showing that kind of love? Look, we've been on the mission field in Ethiopia, Ukraine, Argentina. And I bring that up as an encouragement. We all should be doing this. And some of us, the mission field is right here in Spokane, Washington, just outside the building here. This is how we need to approach things so we don't get deceived, because what happens is these things become distractions to what God is really calling us to do right now, and that is prepare for the greatest harvest this world has ever known. To be ready both with our minds, spirits, our bodies, relationships, our finances, to usher this harvest in. Are we truly ready? Do we really care enough to be ready? Do we really love people enough to be ready for this harvest? To fight for the next generation? Protect them? But also to pass on the lessons we've learned, the wisdom that we've gained through some hard-fought battle. Because I really believe that's what it means to be a Christian, is it's not just talking. Expanding his kingdom through his love. And Travis, ultimately, that's what we do here at On Fire Ministries. And we see tremendous transformation. And it's not about one person. It's not about three people or five. It's about the body of Christ coming together for this time. That's what we need to do. And I hope that encourages you to action as well today. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. I want to thank you, everybody that prayed for us while we were overseas, especially while we were going in and out of the war zone. It's an incredible story. I'll tell that probably later because we ran out of time today, but God was there the whole time. And what really struck me is, so you got 62 orphans that had been on a train for 20 something hours, were living in squalor for a few days before that because they had evacuated out of Mariupol. Travis, not one single complaint. When they knew they had to drive another 12 hours on a bus, not one complaint. Man, doesn't it give you a perspective? We complain about so much here in America. These kids were just so grateful to have food in their bellies, headed toward a shower and to safety. And we just got to appreciate those little things. If you get a chance, you can go on to Gab, MeWe, Getter. Follow us on there and check out On Fire Ministries. If you're in Spokane, stop by on Sunday, 10 o'clock. And we do prayer, baptisms, communion almost every Sunday. So we try to be the Acts Church. Not perfect, but we try to be the Acts Church. Because the Acts Church didn't just talk, it went out and did. All right. Well, it is my honor, finally. And Travis, thank you for setting this up, too, by the way. It sounds like I've been smoking cigarettes for 15 days or something. I don't know what the deal is with my voice right now. But anyway, I want to introduce Julie Anderson, Child Protection League, Anti-Human Trafficking. She's been working tirelessly to defend the next generation, and really appreciate you, Julie, for coming on today and telling a little bit about your story and what's going on back in the Midwest, and just kind of encouraging us and what we can be doing here locally to do what we were talking about earlier, defending the widows and protecting the orphans as well. So, Julie, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on, Matt. But I do want to correct the name. It's actually Julie Quist, Quist.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, Julie Quist.
That's okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's great to have you on. So tell us a little bit about your organization. And since it's the first time you've been on Patriot Radio, we're broadcast throughout all of Eastern Washington, North Idaho, Northwest Montana, excuse me. So just kind of give the listeners a little bit about your background and how you kind of got involved in this fight.
Yeah, so, well, thank you for having me on. And I'm with the Child Protection League, and we're out of Minnesota. And our mission is to protect children from exploitation, indoctrination, and violence. And so that covers a pretty wide spectrum of different kinds of issues that we take on, which is, you know, quite broad. So sometimes we are dealing with issues like one of the big ones here is just the sentencing guidelines that go toward convicts and people who are convicted of dealing with sexual abuse on children. And it's like the pedophiles, and they get convicted of this. And in Minnesota, they're mostly just let off with a slap on the wrist and, on probation. And so that's one of the issues we're dealing with in the legislature, trying to get, building up sentencing guidelines there. And, you know, we deal with a lot of things having in the curriculum and the schools to protect children's minds. And that's how we got onto this particular event that we had, it was the 14th, the middle of March, I guess, that we were asked to give a presentation, a small presentation to the school board on the whole issue of gender identity. And so that's where we ran into a lot of public expression. I would say there's some media stories that went out about us. And so I can tell you a little bit about that if you want, because it really deals with what parents are dealing with right now everywhere.
Yeah.
And, so anyway, that was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get to that here. Let's get to that here in a second. I really want to focus on kind of the human trafficking issue and some of the abuse and stuff. We have about 40, we run Kingdom Christian Academy here, private school. We have about 150 kids that, 40% or so are adopted families that are part of the school. It's fantastic. But there's a lot of kids that have come out of trauma. And what's even more alarming, and Travis actually is an award-winning filmmaker, our producer here. He produced the movie Groomed about how easy it is for kids to fall into the whole human trafficking and abuse cycle. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. It's so much more prevalent, I think, than actually anybody really wants to admit. So if you could talk a little bit about that, I think that'd be a great start.
Yeah. Yes, very much. It is so, so prevalent. And part of what makes children especially vulnerable Aside from the fact, the obvious fact that they're on their cell phones and the predators now, you know, just go on online and present themselves as somebody that they're not necessarily who they are. But aside from that, what we're seeing happening in the comprehensive sex education curriculum in the public schools is very alarming, because what it really does is grooming kids for this kind of abuse. What they're teaching the kids, and we get into this quite a bit in the legislature and in school boards and whatever, the curriculum that they're putting out there for kids, it just takes away their natural inhibitions for things that they would normally just withdraw from. But it normalizes all kinds of sexual activities for minors. It teaches them how to consent to sex, and they say that that's to protect them. In fact, it's leading them into being sexually active. And it's adults talking to young people in mixed audiences about very explicit sexual things. So it normalizes for young people, and especially the younger, the more it affects them, that it's not a reason to be alarmed if an adult or an adult male, you know, will go to a young person and start talking sexual things with them, because that's what they do in the classroom. And it introduces them a lot of the things that are in the curriculum in the schools. It introduces them to sexual actions that, you know, activities that they shouldn't be exposed to. And it explains what they are. It talks to whom, and normalizes everything. And I don't want to get too explicit, but it's just really quite shocking that. And then when you get an individual, you know, an adult that wants to, you know, starts grooming them for a relationship or a pedophilic relationship or just a sexual assault, getting closer to them, their red flags don't go up the way they would normally, and they become far more vulnerable. We work with an organization that deals specifically with an individual who leads the group, who used to be a police officer, and she goes into the schools and she teaches them what it is that the way that the groomers introduce themselves, get them into your circle of closeness, and she teaches them how to protect yourself from that. And what she finds when she is dealing with these kids in the school, she'll have a presentation, she'll find that these kids are actually, some of them, in the midst of this kind of thing going on for them right now. So it is just all over. It is just terribly, I don't know if you're familiar with Yaakov Buyans, but he's well known internationally for dealing in child sex trafficking and opposing it. And he has made the statement that child trafficking is happening in every zip code. And he says, you may think that can't be true, but it is. Yep. Because it's getting into the relationships that you trust. It can be teachers, it can be in your churches, somebody, you know, that you become close to the church. It can be in your local, your school, and your, you know, just, you know. So it is very, very, it is everywhere. And I one of the instances that I can give you that would be real interesting is that back about 2010, 2011, we were involved we weren't. It was before a Child Protection League was established. But there were some individuals who were part of a school district that had a policy that the way they dealt with issues of homosexuality or gender identity was they had a neutrality policy. And what that was is that, you know, the subject came up, when it came up, they didn't affirm it, they took a position, and they just, you know, just were not using it as people to teach the kids that this is an okay thing. And that was very, that was just opposed by the very, very much. So they didn't ask the school board in a very aggressive way, and it became a real big sort of, they made it kind of a scandal, blaming that policy for some suicides that have happened to children in schools, and it was all, it was a manufactured thing. But the interesting thing about it, it became a huge scandal. There was a big article in Rolling Stone magazine about, you know, how this terrible school board was harming children by having neutrality policy. And what we found out, you know, 10 years later, so last year, we found out that one of the teachers that was teaching there at one of those schools at the time was actually sexually abusing young people.
Oh,
and
wow.
He was one of the people who led the attack against, you know, parents and school board members who were trying to have a neutrality policy. He is now in prison with a 30-year prison term. And so he was the one who kind of led the attack to bring all of this into the school. Meanwhile, at that time, he was physically abusing the minor children.
Wow.
So we're finding this. I mean, you know, we had no idea, of course, that was happening, but it is just everywhere. And the thing that we find is that many times people think that they don't believe the children. You know, a child will report it, and they'll say, "No, this is a nice person. He's well known. He's well liked." And no, we don't believe you. And that happens time and time again. It happened in this case. And so what happened is that the young people who had been abused grew up, and they became old enough to be able to handle it themselves, and they brought charges against him. But as a child, as young people, they weren't believed. They tried to tell somebody, and they were accused of making stories. So, I mean, that's just a small part of what we see. And that doesn't even have to do with the actually transporting of children, because, you know, that's a whole other part of it, which is happening all over.
It is. It's happening all over. Well, I want to hone in on this gender identity issue. It's now in the forefront of everybody's mind because of recent athletic competitions that are showing the fallacy of these arguments. But I remember, it was over a decade ago, one of the very first projects I was given as an allied attorney with the Alliance Defending Freedom was to define man and woman. And I asked the people at the time, well, do I really need to do this? And they said, trust us, this is going to be an issue in 10 years. And they were right. And what it came down to after all the research that I did was, in 99.99% of the cases, gender is determined by the presence or absence of a Y chromosome, period, biologically. And yet, this is now being used as both a tool for lowering inhibitions, but also it's being used as a tool, really, I think, to attack women. And we're seeing the results of some of this right now, where if you can't define what a child is, children are endangered, abortion. You can't define what a woman is, now women are in danger. I'm not saying they're in danger of dying, but they're in danger, certainly, of being discriminated against for being biological females in an athletic competition, among many other things. So we're seeing this happen. How do you make sense of this, and how can people really fight this at the local level? Because the entrance for a lot of these things, if not all of these things, has been through the local school systems.
Yes. And what they did some years ago, I'd say 10, 15 years ago, is that they, instead of talking about LGBT, they decided it would be much more fruitful to talk about safe schools. So it's all about safety. And so through that terminology, and everybody wants kids to be safe, it became an anti-bullying thing. They're saying, LGBT people are being bullied, and everybody's against bullying. A lot of people, are bullied. It's just a lot of kids are bullied for a lot of different reasons. And so it was safe schools and anti-bullying became the cover for passing legislation at the federal and at the state level to bring in policies that forbad bullying. Well, then you define as bullying they get to define that, you know, what it means. And bullying means that you don't affirm what somebody is. And so in order to, you know, train all the teachers and administrators and school board members all across the country and across our state, other states too, they would bring in training in teaching everybody that gender is fluid and that it is a continuum of sexuality. And this is truth. And if you don't affirm that, then you are a bully. And so it became this big, and, you know, this has been happening over the last 10 years. And a lot of, you know, it's hard to talk about. People don't want it. It's a very uncomfortable subject. And parents don't want to really believe that, except now their kids are coming home and being confused about who they are. And the reason is that the indoctrination in the teachers and school board members and administrators has been happening over that time. They have been indoctrinated. They've been trained. This is the way it is. And so suddenly people are coming back and saying, oh, no. No, there's a man and a woman. There are boys and there are girls. And there may be some individuals who have difficulty with that in their lives, and they need help, and they need empathy and support. But, you know, you don't teach everybody that there are 75 different options for them for their gender. And that's how it has worked over the years. So it's very embedded already into the whole culture of education. And I don't think the public begins to fully comprehend how deeply embedded it is. You know, here's if I can give you an example of that, one of the very common graphics that's used for very young children in schools, preschools, kindergarten, you know, in elementary schools, is a graphic called the gender unicorn, sometimes called the genderbread person. But the graphic is very colorful, this unicorn, and it has four different levels that define your gender. So it's targeted at a very young child, because Wow. You can see that's who it is. And one of the levels of gender definition is your biology, but then there's also how you feel. It's also how you express yourself. It's also how you think, what you think you are. So there are four different ways that you can see yourself. Now, if you think about a young child, very impressionable, coming in and loving their teacher, you know, they just love their teachers. And they're, you know, their parents pass them off to them, and they are to, you know, love and respect them. So their teachers have this graphic on the wall. They see it every day, and they come in and it tells them, just one look, and it tells them that you are not just a boy or girl. You create your own identities. It's a mix and match. It's like you are who you think you are. And so what that does is it completely transforms the worldview, the understanding of this very young impressionable child. And the parent doesn't have any idea that they have just been subverted. Their faith, their understanding of who they are, their very identity has been turned upside down. So when they're in, you know, middle school, and they start, you know, coming home and saying, you know, I'm this, you know, your daughter comes home and says, I think I'm a boy. You know, the parent doesn't know how that has been planted in them from so young. And they don't understand either that the culture in the schools is that they're giving them all kinds of curriculum. They're giving them all kinds of stories. They're giving them, and as you go up, you know, they're more advanced. There are, you know, teen books, young teen books, young adult books that display all of this. And that's just used in the schools. I mean, one of the things that I did when I made this presentation to the school board is I just was giving them some examples of the kinds of things this open policy brings in. These are some of the books. These are some of the curriculum.
And just a second, real quick, Julie, if I could. Travis, could you bring up the gender unicorn, please? Travis is blushing a little bit, but I'm serious. I want people to see this. So we're going to find this real quick. Please continue. Yeah, go ahead.
You're visual too, then. I thought you were just radio.
No, yeah, we're visual too. Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, please go ahead, Julie.
Okay, so you've got it there? You see it?
He's looking it up right now, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So so there's a thing called a social contagion, and it's a real thing. On a number of different levels, it's the impact of the culture on, you know, people in general, and especially on young people, that, you know, what the social group affirms and thinks and does, and well, you know how it is. They like to dress the same way, and they like to talk the same way and use the same language. And so when you have a culture that is going on in the school that is focusing on this, and the idea that there are only, that there are male and female is not only not affirmed, I mean, it is indoctrinated against. So, for example,
and we have it up there right now, and we're looking at this real time. So, we have the gender unicorn up right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, isn't that something?
It's incredible. Yeah,
it's very common. Let me just tell you, in Minnesota, we have had very leftist governors for quite a number of years, probably about 12 years, and so the school board is, I mean, the Department of Education, run by the radicals. And so out of the Department of Education has come training in gender continuum, sexual gender continuum. And they've done that in the school districts around the state. And they actually use the gender unicorn as part of their training.
Oh, wow. So I want to talk about this very briefly, because what this is and represents is an assault on reality. There's a book written, and Travis, if we could like put this in later, it's called Abuse of Language, Abuse of Power by Joseph Piper. And it talks about the real bullying or the real assault on people is when you use and abuse language and change language to assault reality, because that becomes an assault on people's minds. So it's a fantastic book that talks about this. But Julie, we only have a couple minutes left, so if you could kind of summarize, but also where people can go to get more information about this, because this is absolutely fascinating. I agree with you 100%. I don't think probably two-thirds of the parents out there have seen any of this stuff or really know what's being taught.
Right. So our website is CPL Action. That's CPL for Child Protection League. So it's cplaction.com. And you can, you know, it's got a lot of different subjects, but there's a lot of good information about this there. And you can just see more of it. I would say what you just said about language is so key, because they are using forced language in the schools now, where children must affirm other people's gender identity by calling them by the pronouns. And they're not just the false pronouns like she instead of he. These are pronouns like Z and Ja and Wo and Ye, and they just make them up. But you are required to, because what it, you know, your identity isn't just male or female. It's bisexual. It's asexual. It's nothing. It's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And there are like different categories, and they have different pronouns. Now, so when you tell somebody how they must speak, you are basically you are telling them how they must think. It changes the way you think. When you speak a way that there are all kinds of genders, then that's the way your thinking goes. So they're actually brainwashing people by telling them how they must talk and what they may not say. They may not call somebody a boy if they are a girl. They are taking away the very word of mother and father, and calling it parent. They are taking away all the agenda. It's all neutrality now. They don't want, they call it heteronormativity. That's what it is. Heteronormativity is not the default position. You do not assume heterosexuality in the language that you use. If you want to address somebody, you have to ask them, how do you want to be addressed? And this is brainwashing, because when they tell you how you must be, they're reformatting how you're thinking.
That's exactly right.
Language is key. It's absolutely key.
Absolutely right.
And the thing that really upsets them is if you say God created them male and female. And that's, that's just a light way of bringing in how you're created. And that drives them crazy that you would say something so offensive, that there is a God, that God created them, and that God determines who you are. You don't determine who you are.
Well, truth is offensive.
That is rebellion.
Truth is offensive to people. That's why Pontius Pilate asked the truth, the way, the life, literally asked him, what is truth? He asked the foremost authority with the wrong motivation. We are out of time, Julie. I want to thank you so much for joining us on Patriot Radio, and I would love to have you on again. If you could, plug your website one more time.
It's cplaction.com.
cplaction.com. Thank you again. I love that you are all over this issue. God bless you and keep up the fight.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. Bye-bye.
All right, Julie Quist, cplaction.com. We're going to have that up too on the site. Just want to end the show with one thing. Don't be a parrot, be a hawk. And check out what I mean by that on the Facebook post. May God make this generation the greatest one. Thank you all for joining me today on Patriot Radio. Keep up the fight.